The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Dave's Gone By, an hour of talk radio, comedy, music, and camaraderie on WGBB AM 1240. It's great to be back for our 41st program. I'll recap the whole story in a nutshell. A filbert, not a walnut or one of those big hazelnutty type things, because I know you've heard it a few times, but here's the deal. WGBB moved at the beginning of this month. The studios moved from Merrick, New York, to Babylon, about a half hour further out on the island. The move was long planned, but sped up by sudden and acrimonious changes in management. So there was a lot of chaos, a horde of technical difficulties, a lot of sore feelings, and program hosts jumping ship. The flood of confusion has not completely subsided, but at least the arc of GBB has reached its provisional Ararat. The studio in Babylon has its merits. There's a window and an air conditioner for both the talent and people in the booth, and the equipment is about the same. The signal seems to be a little better, although it's never going to be good, which brings us to the big continuing problem. The reason I haven't been able to say to you, as I did for about 9 months, tune in next week and every week for the next episode of this program, Dave's Gone By, because when the plugs got pulled in Merrick, so did the station's internet access. Now, GBB did act very quickly in getting a new website together, a very nice one, actually, am1240wgbb.com. They don't own the rights to the old wgbb.com, so they had to find another URL, another web address name. They settled on the lengthy but descriptive am1240wgbb.com. Now, the site's been up for 3 weeks. The only problem is the station still has no web streaming audio. You can't go to the website on your computer, click a couple of buttons, and hear the programming no matter where you live. That was something the station did have for pretty much all the time I'd been on the air, since October 2002, and without it, there's a real sense of limbo, of going backward even. WGBB is basically a small, local, community, jerk water, two tin cans, and a silly string kind of radio station. Just so happens to be in a fairly upscale community like Long Island, and it's within shouting distance of New York City, which makes its technical primitivism all the more frustrating, albeit cozy and homey, in a way that a more commercially developed station would have no part of. But web streaming was the bridge, the way to make this provincial station, with a signal that sounds a lot weaker than it is or ought to be, the way to keep it in the 21st century. Webcasting expanded the GBB audience from a few people in their SUVs on Sunrise Highway to anybody with a working computer and a sound card. And there's no question, a great chunk of the audience for Dave's Gone By, not all of it, but a goodly portion, was listening on the internet. Now, I know this from emails and phone calls, people I knew in high school and college catching up with me 20 years later because there I am, clear as day, babbling over their speakers. And the folks at the station have acknowledged the need to get back on the audio track. I'm not the only host here with a significant audience base getting left out in the cold in the middle of July because there's no way to hear the program. And apparently the people from Verizon finally showed up at the station this week only to tell the station manager that the building in Babylon isn't zoned for audio streaming. So now they're almost back to zero as far as that goes, casting about for a server and a carrier. I really don't know the technical details, but for some way to get back live streaming on the web. And again, I'm not even talking about the really advanced money and labor-intensive stuff, like archiving shows on the website, so you can click a link and listen to them anytime. WFMU does that. WFUV has it for some of their shows. It's a great service, and apparently a very expensive one. Not even counting the deals you have to reach with ASCAP and BMI and the record companies just to play their music. I'm just talking about straight live streaming. That in itself, no denying, is a headache and a half, but it's one worth putting up with, as I hope and think the management at WGBB realizes. So while all this has been kind of in limbo, my show has been in limbo. I've been playing it week to week, never knowing what the next 7 days will bring. I keep doing every program as if it's potentially my last on the station, because it could be. I'm not being an alarmist or a crying wolf or anything like that. I would love to come back here in a week or two and say, "Hello, America! All of America! Dave's Gone By is here to stay Sunday nights on WGBB. Tune in to AM 1240 on your tuner or AM 1240 WGBB.com on your computer." But I could just as easily be on hiatus for a while, maybe turning up on another radio station, maybe just on the internet. Everything is still in flux. And the best way to find out what's happening is to get your name on the Dave's Gone By mailing list. It's an email list, no fee, no obligations. We don't use it for any kind of marketing or sell the list to the highest bidder. It's just a way for me to keep in touch with you and let you know when and where you can hear this program next. All you gotta do is send me an email, davesgoneby@aol.com. No apostrophe, Dave's Gone By, D-A-V as in Victor, E-S, goneby@aol.com. I have every intention of this show continuing, be it at this station or elsewhere, so you're better off getting on my mailing list now, or else I'll have to hunt you down like a dog and implant a microchip behind your collarbone, and then how will you feel? Speaking of which, I feel great. I had a week's vacation just a week ago. The main reason I wasn't on last Sunday night, I thought they might play a repeat, but they didn't, although it turned out they played a rerun last Monday night. Very nice of them. Kind of cool to hear my show on a weeknight. Maybe I picked up a few new listeners. Anyway, I had a marvelous time away from Long Island, the station, the work, the heat. My wife, Joyce, was at a sociology conference in California, sponsored by the RAND Institute, a think tank based in Santa Monica. And damned if I was going to miss out on a week by the beach. So yes, old Dave was a beach bum for a few days, hoofing along the Santa Monica Pier, galumphing up and down the avenues. The streets are small, like New York streets, but the avenues go on for a bit. We did the Third Street Promenade, which is a carefree and car-free outdoor mall, and we ate in a couple of yummy restaurants, and I discovered a drink. I don't think it's big here in New York, but it's huge, apparently, in California right now, and it's called the Mojito. M-O-J-I-T-O. And it's essentially lime juice with crushed mint, mint leaves, and then sugar water and soda water. And if you have it the regular way, it's made with rum. I tend not to drink, so I just a virgin one. But, oh boy, is that refreshing, is that delicious. And what they do also, in one of the places, they put sugar cubes around the rim. So when you're drinking it, you're getting a little bit of the bitterness of the lime, plus the taste of the sugar, and it's just lovely, especially in nice, warm California weather. Tried to get the drink in a New York bar or restaurant with a bar. They had never heard of it, but I looked it up, and it's a Cuban drink from way back, and that was just a little bit of feedback there. I guess our board likes mojitos, too. And speaking of food, wanted to give a shout-out to the restaurant in Marina del Rey. They're kind of in a line down the coast along the beaches. If you're in Santa Monica and you go walking, first you'll pass Venice Beach, and then you'll go to Marina del Rey on that line. And then if you go up the other way, you head all the way up to Malibu. But in Marina del Rey, we had a wonderful afternoon brunch on the weekend in a place, $19.95 for a brunch buffet. And if I tell you, I understand when I go to places like this why other countries hate us, why not so much for our political stuff, not about our military, but just the fact that there was so much food of different types. There were three different rooms of food in this place, from an omelet station and breakfast stuff like pancakes and bacon and waffles and sausage, to the carving area, to a delicious sushi bar, to all sorts of other food, and then one room just for desserts, like 10 different cakes and a dispenser, sort of like a samovar, that was dishing out hot cocoa with a giant plate full of marshmallows next to it, and next to that, a giant plate full of, not marshmallow fluff, but whipped cream and also like fudgy cream. It was absolutely delicious. It was more than worth the money. It was a wonderful meal, but I looked at this and I'm like, how much of this gets thrown out at the end of the day? How much of this goes to some Salvation Army or just none of it? And you have to wonder if there's people who could live for 2 months on what is put out in this little restaurant for one day for you know, a bunch of profligate people out in California. Anyway, moving on to more food stuff, I also had my very first corn dog. Never, you know, didn't really have those growing up Jewish, I guess. So that's pretty nice. Basically a hot dog dipped in some kind of corn goo, and it's very nice and fried, and fresh lemonade on the Santa Monica Pier. And as I'm walking back from the pier, I had my one bad California moment. I saw a crazy bum. He was coming down these stairs. I was going up, because you need to go up this basically stairway to get from the beach to Ocean Avenue and all the hotels and stuff. He's coming down, looks at me for no reason, spits, and calls me a compound word beginning with the letter C. I felt okay about it because I didn't actually feel his spit on my body, so I figured there was no disease transmitted. In some ways, I understood it because I was wearing sunglasses and I had a camera around my neck, and I must have looked like the ultimate lousy American stupid tourist. And no, I didn't then run behind him and push him down the stairs, which I was tempted to do. But it did make me realize that out in California, it's weird. Every other homeless person looks like those Manson dudes who hung out with the Beach Boys, and every third homeless person looks like Jesus. It's true and it's bizarre. And speaking of kooky people, Venice Beach is more of a funky kind of villagey area than Santa Monica, where we were staying. So I took a walk down to Venice Beach, which also has part of it, Muscle Beach. And that was really disappointing. I didn't know what to expect from that. Basically, it's just a lot of exercise equipment and weightlifting equipment out along where the beach is, and a bunch of guys pumping iron. I don't know, maybe you have to be gay, maybe you have to be female, but I wasn't terribly impressed or you know, there was no Schwarzenegger there, and if there was, why would I want to watch him? But most of Venice was still fun and hippie-ish, and my favorite part of that was the Wonder Man. This is a guy, I think he was 60 or 66 years old, black fellow, I guess from the Caribbean, and his act, because that's one of the things Venice is known for, people have their little acts on the boardwalk, and you go and you watch it, if you like it, you give him a dollar or two. And his thing, first of all, was limbo, where he held trays of water, and he really, really did get down maybe a half a foot off the ground from his back and did the limbo. But the real thing everybody was waiting for is for him to jump off the rim of a chair onto this big pile of broken bottle glass and, you know, just make sure everybody stayed with it, because he stretched the build-up to about half an hour, and he was like just about to do it, and then pull back and make some jokes and, you know, talk to the crowd, and then he just about to do it again, and then he put his foot in the glass and squished it around to show that it was real, and then he went back up, and finally, boom, he landed on the glass, and he, you know, we all coughed up our money, that's for sure, because he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I give a good show, give the money," and we all looked at each other, and it's like, he did. And I did some of the Hollywood-y kind of stuff. I was in California a few years ago, so that's when I did more of the real touristy sort of things. The Ripley's Believe It or Not, the Walk of Fame, the handprints and the thing, Mann's Chinese Theater. So this time I wanted to do more beachy stuff, more outdoorsy stuff, but I did get to a tour, thanks to a friend of mine, of some of the Hollywood areas, some of the outlying areas. I saw the Hollywood sign, of course, by... We did a little short hike up a hill, and that was fun. And I got to see the guy who directed my play out in California years ago when I was there. And he's doing great, and it was wonderful to see him. Shout out to Robin. Now, I didn't want to get caught up in the whole Hollywood thing as I almost was back in my college days. And it was great to meet my friend, and he's made it, basically, out there. He's had a couple of screenplays made into films, and he's making good money now, and, you know, he's sold a couple of screenplays, but he's still pawing and scraping. Now he's just pawing and scraping to finance a $50 million movie, so a studio will put up the other $50 mil. Kind of different from his first days there when he was interning for Roger Corman and picking up whatever deals he could. And he's got, you know, a long-term living girlfriend and a new little beautiful baby and this house that's expansive and a total mess, but you can see where it's going to be something pretty exciting if he puts it all together. It's on the preservation list, in fact. So he's got all this going on for him, and he's in the position that he fought for about 15 years, where he wanted to be, and he's not happy. You know, he's still a dreamer, and he still wants to travel all the time. He's been doing some of that, and he still isn't happy and where he wants to be in his life. So I guess, again, it's one of those grass is always greener kinds of things. You know, I always sort of wanted to be where he is, and now he doesn't want to be where he is. And it makes you wonder just, you know, where you are in terms of where you want to be.
Everybody's a star. Everybody's in showbiz. It doesn't matter who you are. And those who are successful, be always on your guard. Success walks hand in hand with failure along Hollywood Boulevard.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. It's about 20 after 8. I'm Dave Lefkowitz, theater critic, journalist, humorist, and travel companion, just talking about my trip to Santa Monica last week. Not last week, actually. 2 weeks ago. Thank goodness. I guess we've all seen on TV and read about Russell Weller and his mighty Buick LeSabre, which he plowed down Arizona Street where the farmer's market is. That's about 4 blocks from where we were staying, but it happened after we'd already flown home. And it does bring up the question. I mean, they took him out of the vehicle. Amazingly enough, he was probably the only one in the entire incident who wasn't hurt. And it was a rather devastating scene of carnage. And it begs the question, should old people be drivers tested? In other words, I've always found it really rather odd that you take a driver's license test at whatever point you are, maybe in high school, maybe a bit later on in life, and then you do have to renew your license every few years, but you do it by getting an eye test and sending in some money, and you can even, I think, do it by mail now, completely. And this can go on basically for the rest of your life, even if you live to 110. And, I mean, a perfect example in a sort of a way is me, because I have my driver's license. I got it in my 20s and haven't driven since, but I could still go to an Avis or a Hertz rent-a-car, get a car, take it out, and probably crash it up because I'm a very scared and probably not a good driver yet. And yet, you know, here I am. I never had to prove my skills again once I got that card. So I am definitely for, especially, let's say, after age 70, someone should be tested every 5 years in a real road test. Don't have to do the parallel parking. That's rather pointless. But just to make sure that they have the motor skills to motor, quite literally, to stop at a red light, to know when to turn, when not to turn, and all that. And I think people should be tested every 3 years after age 80. Now, one of the interesting things about Russell Weller is he's 86 years old. So, you know, if he's punished, he could get 6 months or life in prison, whichever comes first. And, you know, there's still that old humor about little old people driving Cadillacs. You know, all you see is the car and wisps of hair over a steering wheel. And nobody, certainly not Long Island, obeys the cell phone law. So there's a sense of everybody kind of being on automatic pilot if they're going down the roads that they always go on. So Weller, again, this fellow, seemed completely dazed and confused when he got out of the car. They're saying he hit the gas pedal instead of the brake at one point. We all like to ask him a bunch of questions, just what was going through his mind. It didn't look like he had a stroke, didn't look like he had a heart attack. I know Joe Salzone, my engineer, has been trying to get him on Joe's Saturday Night program to ask him and figure out what really happened. But Weller did give one lucid interview. It hasn't been shown on American television or radio that I know of, but I got an audio clip of it. So this is just as he was getting out of the wreckage, and some reporter stuck a microphone in his face and asked him, well, what happened? So we have that now. Let's roll Mr. Weller, shall we? Please.
Tooling down the highway doing 79. I'm a twin pipe popper and I'm feeling fine. Hey, man, dig that. Was that a red stop sign? Transfusion. I'm just a solid mess of contusions. Never, never, never gonna speed again. Slip the blood to me, bud. I jump in my rod about 8:45. I gotta make a date with that chick of mine. I cross the center line. Man, you gotta make time. Transfusion, oh man, I got the cotton picking convolutions. I'm never, never, never gonna speed again. Shoot the juice to me, Bruce. My foot's on the throttle and it's made of lead, but I'm a fast riding daddy with a real cool head. I'm a gonna pass a truck on the hill ahead. Transfusion, my red corpuscles are in mass confusion. Never, never, never gonna speed again. Pour the crimson in me, Jimson. I took a little drink and I'm a feeling right. I can fly right over everything, everything in sight. There's a slow poking cat, I'm gonna pass him on the right. Transfusion, I'm a real gone pale face, and that's no illusion. I'm a never, never, never gonna speed again. Pass the claret to me, Barrett, rolling down the mountain on a rainy day. Oh, when you see me coming, better start to pray. I'm a cutting up the road, and I'm the boss all the way. Transfusion, oh doc, pardon me for this crazy intrusion. I'm never, never, never gonna speed again. Pump the fluid in me, Louie. I'm burning up the freeway early this morning. I'm a passing everybody, oh nothing but corn man. Out of my way, I don't drive with my horn. Transfusion, oh nurse, I'm gonna make a new resolution. I'm never, never, never gonna speed again. Put a gallon in the Allen. Oh, barnyard drivers are found in two classes, line crowding hogs and speeding jackasses. So remember to slow down today. Hey, Daddy-O, make that type O, huh? Attaboy.
Okay, okay, so that wasn't Russell Weller. That was Nervous Norvus, stage name of Jimmy Drake, who had a top 10 single with Transfusion back in 1956. And if you haven't guessed, this isn't a news show, it isn't a talk show, it isn't a top 10 show, it's an everything show. And it's called Dave's Gone By, 60 minutes of smart talk, silly talk, normal music, abnormal music, and antisocial behavior, all in a tidy hour-long package. Think of it as a cross between Steve Allen, Joe Franklin, Howard Stern, Idiot's Delight, and Weekend Update. In other words, a mess, but a clean mess. The humor can get a little double entendrical, but basically the show is rated DGB-13, which is the radio equivalent of PG-13, only without the falling brassieres. So if you have young, impressionable children that you haven't corrupted yet with your disgusting habits and urges, you might want to monitor their radio listening for the next half hour. Everybody else, caveat emptor, Cadillac Imperial. I kind of put this episode together at the last minute. Not that I should admit that, but I didn't know I'd be doing this show until yesterday morning, so if it's a little more ragged, a little more off the cuff than usual, good! I can use a little loosening up. And so could you. The broccoli ain't working. And yes, I did have time to dig up a few precious nuggets for the news gone by. That's up next, plus some great music, more talk. You'd be crazy to miss it, so stay tuned. I'll be right back after this deeply, deeply important message. Performing Arts Insider, three words that represent a whole world of entertainment found on Broadway, off-Broadway, and cabaret. Hundreds of productions to see and enjoy. But how can you keep them all straight? Performing Arts Insider, the guide to everything that's happening on the stages of New York. For six decades, Performing Arts Insider has been a bible of the industry. Each issue lists hundreds of shows, who wrote them, what they're about, who's in the cast, the designers, the producers, box office info, parental guides, reviews of what's good, what's bad, and why. Plus, listings for opera, dance, and awards, too. As the chief editor of Backstage put it, Performing Arts Insider puts all the facts at your fingertips. To subscribe or get a sample issue, call 516-295-1511 or go to www.totaltheater.com and click on Performing Arts Insider. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. It's about 26 after 8, and time for the news gone by, a look at events of the past week from a post-coital Califoidal perspective. In war news, well, you knew it was going to happen. On Friday, the 148th American soldier died in Gulf War No. 2, not an enormous number, but one more casualty than we had in all of Gulf War No. 1. This news came just after Arab television stations were airing a new audio tape, purportedly of former Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein. Experts can't be 100% sure, but they think it's probably him. This embarrassment and the relentless picking off of our soldiers by rebel and guerrilla forces again begs the question the Bush administration was too arrogant to answer before the conflict started. If we win, what happens when we win, and how do we make sure Hussein doesn't become the next Ho Chi Minh? Faced with growing uncertainty about the post-war war, President Bush and English Prime Minister Tony Blair ramped up their defense of the attack. Blair told Congress that even if the threat of Iraq's weaponry had been greatly exaggerated by White House spin, they were still the bad guys, and we're still the cavalry. For his part, President Bush is busy planning his campaign strategy for 2004 and not too worried about the latest controversies. After all, he told his staff, Even if the American people don't forgive me for the weapons of mass destruction lie, they'll thank me for ending the war quickly. Oh, wait, that hasn't happened yet. Well, they'll thank me for turning the economy around. No, wait, that hasn't happened. So they'll be grateful for the lower unemployment numbers and... No, wait, that, well, there's always the environment and... Oh, dear. And, oh, the budget deficit. I'm certainly make, funding for the arts and sciences and education. Oh, boy. Hey, I got the oil vote. And speaking of sleazy, a 31-year-old ex-Marine is being extradited from Germany, where he met in person a girl he'd corresponded with on the internet. Turned out she wasn't quite 18 like she said. Actually, she's 12. German police aren't pressing charges against the guy who swears he didn't have sex with her. She confirms his story, saying she just wanted a platonic relationship, having only recently gotten over her last boyfriend, R. Kelly. In health news, further proof that no matter how robust you try to be, when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. Lucille Roberts, founder of the famous chain of health clubs that bear her name, died of lung cancer on Thursday, age 59. The Russian-born entrepreneur started her first gym, the Body Shop, across the street from Macy's on 34th Street. That venue closed, but by then she had a whole chain of gymnasia all across the Northeast. By her life's example, Roberts did demonstrate the value of time-consuming, laborious, expensive exercise. Because she kept in shape and tested all the equipment herself, instead of just eating what she wanted, gorging on delicious desserts, lounging by the TV, and enjoying herself, Roberts will decompose a whole 3 weeks faster than if she'd been a fat slob. Now that's motivation for a health club membership right there, huh? In entertainment news, a group of Japanese Americans staged a protest in Hollywood outside the production offices of Banzai, a new comedy game show on Fox Network. The show, which can be pretty funny, features a manic Japanese host in traditional garb. He urges people at home to guess whether a rabbi, a priest, or a football player will pedal fastest on a stationary bike, or how long a celebrity will tolerate a rude or incompetent interviewer. If the program is a success in the ratings, Fox has already promised to bring us Raus, a sexy new game show in which a Nazi commandant orders a dozen naked women into a pit and has them fight over an apple. In local television news, just a few months after raising the rates for its cable TV service, Cablevision of Long Island has hiked up the price of its Optimum Internet service. Starting in July, the price to surf the net jumped from $39 to $44. In keeping with the new policy, Cablevision is renaming its Optimum service the Home Stupping Network. Turning to the music world, a sad week for fans of Latin and salsa music. Cuban legend Celia Cruz, whose hairstyles made Patti LaBelle look like Sinead O'Connor, died of a brain tumor on Wednesday at age 77. Thousands of mourners lined Miami yesterday to pay respects to the diva, who recorded 70 albums, one for almost every year of her life. I can't really say I know her music, but the fact that she won a Grammy last year and this year and has shown up in music videos and awards shows does her credit. She didn't become just an oldies act for that circuit. Like Aretha Franklin, James Brown, she kept reinventing herself. Possibly long after the initial inspiration that made her a superstar had faded into the LP grooves of time. On his Friday morning radio program, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg called Cruz, quote, the Frank Sinatra of the Latino community, and her husband has the shiner to prove it. No, just kidding, but there will be a public service in New York on Tuesday where Cruz's coffin will be placed on a horse-drawn carriage and make a 30-block procession from the Campbell Funeral Home on 81st Street to St. Patrick's Cathedral. And this is not a joke. According to AP, Cruz's longtime makeup artist said the singer will have at least four different looks for the viewing and funeral mass. Apparently, he's going to change her makeup, wigs, and outfits so, I don't know, people don't get bored in between hymns. I think she's just trying to corner the VH1 Fashion Awards Best Looking Corpse category this year, hoping to beat out the perennial winner, Cher. And speaking of pre-Columbian cadavers, farewell also to Don Francisco Repilado, better known as Compe Segundo, better known as the guy who wrote and sings the first song on the hit Buena Vista Social Club soundtrack album. Born in Santiago, Cuba in 1907, Segundo started as a clarinetist with the El Conjunto Matamoros band, while at the same time joining forces with Lorenzo Hierrezuelo to make a duo. Now, he changed his name from Don Francisco Repilado to Compe Segundo, Compe being short for compadre, and Segundo referring to the bass harmony voice he added to duets. Segundo stayed active and musical well into his early 90s, with Buena Vista Social Club giving him a whole new audience in the late 1990s. The first song you hear when you put on the CD is Segundo's own Chan Chan. I did some research on the net and discovered that Chan Chan was the original capital of Chimú. Go figure. No, but Chimú were the culture in power in Peru between 1000 and 1400 AD, just before the Incans came in. And Chan Chan was very developed. It had wide streets and high walls built by slaves to protect against the strong winds. But I also found the song Chan Chan's lyrics on public television's Buena Vista website, and Segundo doesn't seem to be talking about an ancient civilization's architecture. Here's an excerpt from the English translation. Quote, "The love I have for you I cannot deny. My mouth is watering. I cannot help myself. When Juanica and Chan Chan sifted sand together on the beach, how her bottom shook, and Chan Chan was aroused." Forget Chan Chan. They ought to call it Boink Boink. But right after that hot and heavy verse with Juanica and Chan Chan going at it, the singer says, "Clear the dry cane leaves from the path so I can get to that trunk. I want to sit down." Oh gosh, that was quick. Typical guy, I guess. Still, if anyone's earned the right to sit down and rest, it's Compe Segundo, the late Compe Segundo, who died last Sunday of kidney failure at age 95. Like Celia Cruz, he also had a funeral procession, this one in Santiago, a 2.5-mile journey to the cemetery. Compe was in an open casket, his Grammy and other awards displayed prominently, a bouquet of flowers from the Del Castro also nearby. But his biggest tribute was when the crowd at the burial went into an impromptu version of his most famous song, Chan Chan. Para
Macané, llego a Puerto, voy para Mayarín. De Alto Cedro voy para Macané, llego a Puerto, voy para Mayarín. Ya tosero voy para Macané, llego a Puerto, voy para Mayarín.
Continuing the news gone by, time for sports. Controversy struck a few days back at Milwaukee's County Stadium, where the all-important mid-game sausage race was stopped in its tracks. You saw the video. The bratwurst, the kielbasi, the Italian sausage, and the American hot dog were rounding the perimeter of the stadium. They passed the dugout when Pittsburgh Pirates first baseman Randall Simon bopped the sausage on the back of the head with his bat. The sausage fell over, causing the bratwurst running on her inside left to trip also. They both tumbled to the ground. Turns out, those were teenage girls in those Frankfurter suits, one of whom had recently had leg surgery. But they weren't hurt, they didn't press charges, Simon was fined $400, Major League Baseball said naughty naughty, and everybody had a good laugh. Everyone except Brewers Vice President Rick Schlesinger, who said, quote, "This is one of the most outrageous things I've ever seen inside a ballpark or outside a ballpark. It sickened me to see it." Oh, lighten up, Rick. You want to get really sick to your stomach? Come to Shea Stadium and watch the Mets play. You'll toss your cookies by the third inning. But seriously, Randall Simon was wrong to do what he did. He shouldn't have been such a hot dog, especially since he seemed to relish the incident once he mustered the energy to do it. I hope someone smacks him on the buns and says, "One day your worst behavior will catch up to you, and you'll feel like a loser instead of a wiener." Yes, 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 you know that sound. It's the sound of a comedy bell, signaling that Dave's gone by. Bad pun of the week. Every week, every single week, each and every week, or thereabouts, we make a play on words on this program, a joke so terrible, a ha-ha so horrendous, we have to stop the show right in its tracks and ring the comedy bell. And tonight's Dave's Gone By Bad Pun of the Week is brought to you by me, because I didn't have time to line up a sponsor. But when this program settles back into its weekly routine, when we get into our regular groove on the radio and on the internet, probably by mid to late August, I would say, we'll be doing our Bad Pun of the Week religiously, and you can be a part of it. Have your business, product, or service associated with this program, with this segment, with a joke so dumb, it actually has to sit in the short yellow dictionary with the other dumb words. So be part of the magic. Sponsor the Dave's Gone By Bad Pun of the Week. It's cheap, it's effective, and it lets people know you're a good sport with poor taste. Call 516-295-1511. Area code 516-295-1511. Or email davesgoneby@aol.com and ask about our ad rates and sponsorship opportunities. For just a few measly dollars, you can reap a publicity bonanza, but you've got to make the call. 516-295-1511. Leave a message or email davesgoneby@aol.com. And before you know it, the next Dave's Gone By Bad Pun of the Week may belong to you. Concluding the news gone by with a little more sports. Los Angeles Lakers superstar Kobe Bryant was charged with sexual assault this week, an offense that could bring him 4 years to life imprisonment if convicted. Bryant held a news conference on Friday. He told reporters he was innocent, although with his wife by his side, he confessed to having an affair with the woman who's pressing the charges. The sexual incident in question happened at a Colorado spa. It was the night before Bryant underwent arthroscopic knee surgery in a nearby clinic. Makes you wonder just how assaultive he could have been.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby, that's it. Ow, ow, ow!
It's okay, baby. Keep going. Just don't touch my knee.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, now you got it. Ooh, I like that. Ooh, yeah, ah! Oh, give me my pills! Give me my pills!
No, but then again, he could also be guilty. As Johnny Cochran put it, if the Trojan is soaking, her hymen's broken. If the latex is soggy, they did it doggy. If the Ramses don't roll, check her hole, 'cause if her lips be scraped, she done been raped. And that's the news gone by for July 20th, 2003. Please send your comments, opinions, and Buena Vista social diseases to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. That's the address for all snail mail to the program, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062, or email me at davesgoneby@aol.com. We reserve the right to read your letters and emails on the air, name withheld upon request. And folks, as I've been saying week after week, no matter what happens in the short term, Dave's Gone By is in it for the long haul. It's very possible we'll stay on WGBB if they get the web stream back, but even if we go elsewhere, we're still going, not stopping, so we need your support. Tell your friends about the show, spread the word that Dave's Gone By is different, it's funny, it's odd, it's fresh, it's worth tuning in. And if enough people agree, and then program directors agree, and station managers agree, well, who knows what the next step will be. So get yourself on the mailing list for updates about the show, davesgoneby@aol.com. Write us cards and letters the old-fashioned way, Box 62, Hewlett, New York. And of course, check our website, it's working again, hometown.aol.com/davesgoneby. Or you can go to the website Total Theater, www.totaltheater.com, and click on the link for Dave's Gone By. So many ways to check us out, so many ways to give us your feedback. Give a call, send an email, mail a care package, but please, no more dead Latin American singers. I'm all out of salsa.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Dave's Gone By show. I'm sorry to break in here, but there's a news event of some importance. Dave said it was okay because it's an amazing opportunity. My name is Joe Salzone, and earlier this week, an 86-year-old California man lost control of his car and went crashing through several blocks in Santa Monica. It was a horrible accident. 10 people are dead, more than 50 wounded. So far, the only people who've spoken to Russell Weller, the driver of the car, are police and his lawyer. I've tried getting in contact with them, and I've left him several messages at home. I said I wanted to interview him on my Saturday night show, Joe Salzone Live. He never called back, and yet, who should walk into the studio just 10 minutes ago but Mr. Weller? This is, of course, completely unprecedented. I had no idea he'd be coming to the station, let alone tonight. He's agreed to be interviewed. He says he has nothing to hide, and we're going to find out. Russell Weller, welcome to WGBB. First of all, how are you feeling?
I'm good. It's great to be here on this lovely Thursday evening.
Mr. Weller, it's Sunday.
Sunday? Really?
Yes.
So that's why supermarket sweep wasn't on.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, listen, Mr. Weller, how long have you been a licensed driver?
Well, Jay...
Joe.
Joe, I got my driver's license the same year the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, 1937.
Sir, the Japanese attacked in 1941.
They did? Wow. I hope we fought back.
Well, Santa Monica Police Chief James Butch Jr. called the accident your accident, quote, the single most horrific, devastating scene of tragedy I've ever witnessed in 30 years of law enforcement. What do you say to that?
I'd say he's a very lucky man.
Lucky? In what way?
Imagine if he saw something like that every other week. He'd be traumatized. Once every 30 years, you move on.
Mr. Weller, how was your driving record? Have you had any prior accidents, speeding tickets?
One time, 2 years ago, I was stopped for going 30 miles an hour.
30 miles an hour? That doesn't seem too fast.
It wasn't. The police were completely out of line.
Where did this happen?
At a supermarket in Orange County.
You mean the parking lot?
No, aisle 3. I was wondering why all those boxes of Cocoa Puffs kept hitting my windshield.
Now this brings us to the accident last week. You came barreling down Arizona Avenue in Santa Monica. You started hitting people, but instead of putting on the brake, they say you hit the gas instead.
Yes, it was a natural mistake. I knew something was going wrong, so I went to get my cell phone.
While you were driving, you went to make a call? I know that's still legal in California, but was that really a good idea?
Well, Jeff...
Joe!
I thought the phone was in the glove compartment, but really it was somewhere on the floor. So maybe I took 20, 30 seconds to bend down and look for it.
You're saying that in the middle of driving through a crowded farmer's market, you took your eyes off the road to go looking for a cell phone? Didn't that strike you as just a little bit dangerous?
Thinking back, I probably should have signaled.
When you finally came to a stop, what was the first thing you did after you got into your car? Did you help the wounded, talk to the police, even pray for guidance?
Well, I took off my bumper sticker.
Huh?
The one that says, "How's my driving?" with my phone number under it. I knew I should have gotten the "Honk if you love Matlock" sticker instead.
I have to ask, what does your family think about all this?
Well, my children, they don't call, they don't write. Of course, they've been dead for 20 years, but still.
All right, since you've mentioned the dead, you killed 10 people in your accident, dozens more badly wounded. Didn't you see them coming at you? Didn't you hear them bouncing off the side of your car?
You know, it all happened so fast. It was like the time I took my fifth wife to Six Flags. One minute, we were cruising through the animal safari. The next, there was zebra steak for everyone.
Mr. Wellen, with all due respect, do you think you're still capable, even competent, to drive an automobile?
Absolutely. I can drive a stick, an automatic, and a flivver.
What's a flivver?
A what?
A flivver.
I don't know. Why are you asking me?
So what's the latest on your situation? Are the police going to charge you with the 10 counts of vehicular manslaughter?
My lawyer says there will probably be a trial, but we can delay it with paperwork until 2006.
But by then you'd be, 89 years old. Do you think you can handle prison?
Oh, sure. My lawyer says by that time I might be in prison physically, but mentally I'll be in the Bahamas.
Mr. Wellen, do you have any message that you'd like to say to the victims, to the family of the innocent people killed in this tragedy?
Yes, I am very sorry for your loss, for the terrible toll this accident has taken on life and limb, for the sorrow caused to so many people by this calamity. And when I find the person responsible for it, I'm gonna give him a piece of my mind.
Sounds like you already did.
What's that? Speak up, Jim. I can't hear you.
All right, well, thank you, Russell Winter, for coming out. Russell Weller.
Weller.
The teleprompter ain't working here. Thank you, Sarah, for coming down to the station and sharing your side of the story. We now return to the Dave's Gone By show, already in progress.
Thank you, Joe. Joe Salzone, always getting those great and timely interviews. You've got to catch his program Saturday nights at 7:30. And he also has like 3 other programs on the station. I think he's building to like 5 or 6 of them. And he has one tonight at 10. Take about a half minute and tell us about what's on tonight, Joe.
Well, coming up tonight, we're going to talk about Lacey Peterson. We're going to talk about this crisis with North Korea, that we could be at war with them by the end of the year, according to one report. And we're going to talk about Jimmy Hoffa. He's back in the news again.
They didn't find him.
They didn't find him, but we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk a lot about Kobe Bryant. And France is banning the word email, of all things.
Before I let you go on this, what do you mean they're banning the word email?
They want to eliminate any English kind of word, and they're going to ban the word email. They're going to combine it, and it's translated means weasel or something like that.
Well, you know what they prefer, since it's France.
What's that?
Snail mail. Yes, that's, look at that little escargot.
Thank you. Thank you
very much. Joe Salzone, ladies and gentlemen.
No comedy bell?
Oh, you know what? Sorry, let me try that again. Look at that little escargot. Hey,
Thank you.
Joe Salzone tonight from 10 to 11. You're probably on from 11 to 12 doing some other stuff, too.
Oh, I'm all over the place in the station now.
And what else? Monday you have something or what?
Monday 6 to 6 or 7. Actually, this Monday.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking to someone who's written, I forgot her name, but she wrote a book that outlines all the basic theories of the evolution of humanity. So we'll talk to her, and then in the second half hour, a complete coverage of the crisis with North Korea. We'll be joined by the former ambassador The U.S. ambassador to North Korea, so we'll talk to him.
Whoa, and he's bringing a dog.
He's bringing a dog. He'll be in studio, as a matter of fact.
And it should be delicious. But, you know, I don't know what that means. Thank you, Joe. Anyway, Joe Salzone, thank you so much for being my engineer tonight. Thanks for...
No problem.
I didn't mind your taking the time to do that.
No problem.
Was a fascinating news interview.
Sorry about that teleprompter. It slipped up there.
Oh, it's okay.
It happened. It's a union thing.
Yeah. There's a union here? We'll talk. Okay. I've got to thank a couple of other people. Thank you, station manager Jeff. Thank you to my lovely wife, Joyce, my fine mom and dad. Great seeing both of you earlier. I want to thank all of you for listening. Still have a couple of minutes here, so I wanted to remind you to let me know what you think of the show. Send your emails to davesgoneby@aol.com or drop us a phone message at 516-295-1511. If you call and nobody picks up, do leave a message. We will get back to you. Also, I do have another minute or so, I wanted to mention one other cool thing that we did in California. We went to the Museum of Jurassic Technology. And it's amazing how that phrase goes by people and think, ooh, pretty cool, and then you realize it means absolutely nothing. The whole point of that museum is that half of it, to about 70% of the exhibits, are completely and utterly fake. They're arranged like a museum with special lighting and glass cases and microscopes and posters and all that, but you read what these things are about, and you realize, my gosh, I'm being zoomed, like something called Telling the Bees, where you can talk to bees and have them do your will. And there's also the other half of the museum is real stuff that's just kooky and weird. Like if you're familiar with card player and debunker Ricky Jay, he's been collecting dice for most of his life, and he's had dice now for years that have basically degenerated from use or from whatever their composition is now decomposing, and he has a whole photo series on what these dice look like in various states of decomposition. Kind of interesting, and all sorts of weird stuff. Real stuff, fake stuff, and it's the Museum of Jurassic Technology, which is in Culver City, California, former production home, I believe, of the Dr. Demento show, although I didn't get to see any of that, and was quite fun. Anyway, I still have like 3 minutes here. My gosh, I'm really running early, which I love. So, what else can I tell you? Well, I can tell you that I'm not sure if I'll be on week to week, as I said before. I hope I'll be on next week. That might actually happen. I'm going to plan for it tentatively, unless I get knocked on the head. So check me out. 8 o'clock, maybe I'll be streaming, and maybe actually streaming on the web. I don't know about the other streaming. Joe, get your mic back on. I've got time to kill here, so
sure.
Let's fill together.
All right.
Yeah. By the way, and none of the headphones work really properly here, so that's kind of...
What's
wrong with the headphones,
I'm
Joe?
I'm sure the listeners really care about that.
Yeah.
You know, radio's an illusion, so they think we're in this big fancy studio, which we are, of course.
I'm still in Santa Monica.
That's right. No coffee machine, though.
The Santa Monica of the mind.
I noticed, talking to Russell Weller, he kind of smells a little bit. He's got that old hospital smell.
Well, old men do that.
Did you notice that? He shook my hand when he came in here.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to my office, and I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, does this guy want to kill me? Because he had this look in his face, man alive. That freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah, but he's useless without a car. It's like a hockey player without his stick.
You know? I was looking at his car, outside in the parking lot.
Yeah.
That thing is dented up. You can tell about 10 people smashing into the windshield there.
Well, yeah. Okay, I'm looking for the joke on that one.
Yeah. Well, he killed 10 people.
Do
you think he's going to be brought up on charges?
Well, yeah, I think they'll have to. I mean, let's say he was 46 instead of 86. I think they're going to have to bring him up on something. Whether a judge will put him in jail, as I said, the joke will be, it's going to be 6 months to life, whichever comes first. So
he's 86 years old. One report, and I saw this on a Wire story about 10 minutes ago on our laptop system here, that he apparently had a stroke. That witnesses saw him clenching his, completely...
So it was a stroke.
It might have been a stroke or a heart attack, something that... There was also another report that he got into a car accident a couple blocks down the road and just sped up and hit 10 people.
Right, I remember that thing. But the one thing I didn't talk about earlier when I was mentioning this whole thing about testing old people for driving... The problem with old folks is you can test an 81-year-old,
right,
let's say, and then test him 5 years later, but... That's the thing about aging. They can be hit with something. I mean, any of us can, technically.
That's another thing we're going to be covering at 10 o'clock on Real Time. At what point do you just have to take someone's license away? Can you be too old to drive?
Certainly, yes.
And we're going to tackle that.
But I'm saying if a person can't pass certain basic things, whether it's vision or being able to stop on time or having the presence of mind in basic traffic situations.
That's right.
Then you test them, and if they can't do it, then it's time to you know, just get pushed, as it were. Anyway, let me tell my folks that time for me, oh, it's so sad, but it was a wonderful show. Thank you so much, Joe. Check back next week, everybody. I might actually be here. Same time, same station, ready to offend and oblige in equal measure. Whether I am or I amn't, it was great to be here tonight. I hope your hour went as quickly as mine did, and that 168 hours from now we'll be together once more. So until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. Drive safely, especially through farmers' markets. And gone by.
Drink the clear, clean water for to quench my thirst.